You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
In my work with salon owners, I so often get asked, why isn't my Instagram growing? And how do I do this engagement thing? I'm Larissa, founder of the Salon Owners Collective, and today marketing your business on social media can feel tricky. There's always more to be learned, more to be said, and more to be done. More importantly, there's always more competition each and every day. Sometimes it's tempting to throw in the towel and give up altogether. But in today's podcast, my guest, Nicole from Melbourne, hair blogger, will tell you why you shouldn't quit. Now, Nicole is a hairstylist turned Instagram extraordinaire who runs a business helping salons how to utilize social media to their best ability. She understands what it's like to work in the salon industry and applies those skills into teaching salon owners like yourself how to be found, grow, and engage using Instagram. So on today's podcast, Nicole covers four main steps that you should be taking and talking about to ensure the best use of Instagram possible for your salon. So be sure to tune in as we chat about all things social media, from handles to aesthetics. Let's jump straight in to talk to Nicole. Nicole, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm really pleased you could join me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Larissa. It's such an honor to be invited to be on the podcast. I'm so excited to share my story with you.
Well, equally, I'm excited to hear your story and for all the good things that you know to be shared to the world. So let's start though, like, where are you in the world and how did you get to be doing what you're doing now? Share your story.
Okay, so I'm located in Melbourne, Australia, and you may know me from my brand, Melbourne Hair Blogger, and now Social Salon School. So I've been doing Melbourne Hair Blogger on Instagram for close to 4 years now. I'm also a very busy mum of a toddler who's almost 2 years old, which keeps me so busy. But Melbourne Hair Blogger came about, like I was saying, almost 4 years ago now, and it actually started as a hobby. So I had been working in a salon for well over 10 years, and I was just feeling a bit burnt out and I just needed a little bit of a change. So this is how it came about, where I stopped working. I was in a pretty vulnerable place, to be honest. And I just had to stop doing hairdressing because it wasn't serving me any joy. And in my life, my grandmother was quite unwell, and I had stopped working to spend as much time as possible with her before she sadly passed away in 2015, at the end of 2015. And I really needed to find some joy while I wasn't hairdressing. And this is where Melbourne Hair Blogger came about. So I always knew I was going back to hairdressing after I had spent this time with my family. And I really wanted to find inspiration from hairdressers, even just around Melbourne. So Melbourne Hair Blogger really started as a directory for hairdressers in Melbourne, for people to find hairdressers in Melbourne, on a platform that was quite visual. And when I started this, there was no other niche like it that I have found on Instagram. And I really wanted to start something quite different. And over the past 4 years, it's really evolved into something I never dreamed of becoming. So, it's been amazing. It's been such a journey. And I've been, just blown away by the opportunities it's given me.
Yeah, it truly is amazing. I mean, 41,000 followers in a short space of time. Tell us a little bit about what does a day in the life of you look like? Like, what does a week look like? What do you do?
90% of the time, or Monday to Friday, really, I'm at home with my son. And me and my partner, we work hand in hand with parenting. We do it quite well, actually. So, you know, when he gets home from work, I'm pretty lucky, finishes work around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And when he gets home from work, I go off and do all my behind the scenes stuff. So I last year I launched Social Salon School. So it's been a side business with Melbourne Hair Blogger that I've always been told I should launch and do, because I've always had people say, oh, you're really good at social media, you should really do something with it. And I was in June last year, actually. I started off just going out to salons and teaching them just how to take hair photos. And I never really thought about teaching them how to maximize their Instagram. I just thought taking good hair photos was key at the time. And then slowly after doing that, I thought, actually I could really teach them how I built my brand on Instagram, because that was something I always got asked. How did you build your following? How did you get to where you are? And I kept getting asked these questions. And I thought that, you know, a bit of a light bulb moment, I really should teach hairdressers how I got to where I got through using Instagram. So that's where Social Salon School really evolved at the end of last year. And I've taught probably close to 100 hairstylists so far how to optimize Instagram, and they've already seen growth in 1 week. So it's been pretty amazing, to be honest. I'm blown away.
How great too that you can juggle both.
You're
passionate about while raising a family, best of both worlds.
Exactly right. Like, yeah, really lucky. I've got a very supportive family, and I think it's great for my son too, to spend time with both parents. So yeah, it's great, and it works really well for our family.
Did you ever make it back to the salon?
Not since having my son. I did go back to working in a salon from early 2016 to mid 2017. I did go back for a short time, and then I had my son, and I was going to go back to the salon, but it just wasn't going to work for my family. So again, this is where doing social media for salons really works in well with my lifestyle and raising a family. So it's been great.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about the things that you've learned in your own journey, but also in teaching stylists around Instagram. You've got some great tips for us today. So what's the most important thing? I guess it's around getting found. You need to be found before you can follow. This is something that you believe in. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I totally believe that people need to find us before they can follow us. And I'm really passionate about this topic, especially when I do teach my classes. This is something I really dive deep into. Because even for me, when I use Instagram, not even for hair, when I'm even trying to find a business, I use the search engine that Instagram provides to find businesses. And I think for hairstylists, they really need to optimize their name on Instagram. So on Instagram, we have a username, but we also have a name. So in the edit profile section, and on your Instagram bio in the bold black letters, this is where people will go to find us. Mm-hmm. So if you went to search for something on Instagram, you would type in the business, the location of the business, and then the business that you're searching for. And this is somewhere where, especially for salons that I've gone to teach at, I find they don't optimize this tool enough, and they could be missing out on potential customers coming to their salon based on this. So this is a perfect place to grow online. So if you're not driving at the moment, or you can access your phone right now, what I would like people to do is to go into the Instagram search bar and type in your location plus the business type, your business type. So whether you're in the hairdressing industry or in the beauty niche or whatever business you may be in, so type in your location and the business type. So a lot of people do this and they actually don't type in their business type or the location, and they just type in their name or the name of the salon. So people might not be able to find them because they haven't put their location or their business type in.
It's so funny because it sounds kind of like when you say it, it sounds so obvious, but at the same time, we don't probably take that approach to Instagram in terms of being a local search engine.
Yeah, for sure. Like I use Instagram like Google because it's visual and I can see things straight away. So if I'm trying to find a restaurant or a cafe and I want to check out what the food looks like, I'll type onto Instagram where I'm going and the name of the cafe. Like even if I have business meetings with people and they'll say, oh, let's meet in this location and let's find a cafe, I'll type in the location and cafe or restaurant to try and find a picture of what it even looks like.
Yeah, perfect. This is great advice. I just went and did exactly the same as you're speaking on my phone for my local area. And yes, I can see why this is so powerful locally.
Yeah, for sure. And you can also grow organic followers in your area and convert them into paying customers.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more about that.
So by interacting with people in your local area, uh-huh. So, you know, these could be people that could be possibly your dream clients, interacting with the local businesses that you do find in your area. So searching, you know, within your area and interacting with the businesses that are there. Because I think, you know, small business builds small boots, builds small business. So I think interacting with each other is really important.
Okay, so we can assume that other local businesses around us are going to be serving our perfect customer base as well.
100%.
So if we can interact and be visible with other local businesses around us, then we become visible to their customers as well.
Absolutely.
Genius. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, fantastic. So should we be mindful about who we're interacting with locally? I mean, mindful of similar brands to us?
I guess with my brand, I'm all about supporting everyone, supporting local businesses, supporting hairstylists. And I think it's really important to interact with people close by and build good relationships. Mm. I'm all about building relationships, and I think it's really important.
Well, this is the sort of the key of social media that somehow we forget. It's social and exactly. It just happens to be online, but really we should be behaving the same as if we were in the real world, which is that you usually know the people in the businesses physically close to you because you pop in and you buy from them, so it's the same, it just translates the same online.
Yeah, for sure. Like I guess with social media, you know, clicking a like or a comment, it would be like saying hello down the street if you saw someone. Yeah, so like even leaving comments on Instagram is like saying hello.
Yes.
The same as what you would do in person, socializing in person.
And now this is something that I talk about with Facebook marketing, is if somebody says hello to you or makes a comment, usually you talk back.
Exactly.
Rather than if somebody says, hi, Larissa, how are you? You don't usually just give them a thumbs up back.
Yeah, that's right.
Speak back to them, right? And you would say, I'm good, thank you. How are you? How's your son? Or you would have this sort of two-way conversation. This is called engagement.
Yeah, for sure. And especially at the moment, Instagram actually favors accounts that build relationships and conversation on the platform. So interacting with people and writing back to every comment that people leave to you and leaving a genuine comment as well, not just thanks. Say, thank you so much for visiting our page. I really hope you're having a great day, and building that relationship where they think you actually really care about those people, because they could turn into paying customers. You don't know who that person is. So I think treat everyone with respect on Instagram because they've taken the time out to write you a message.
Yeah, I actually think it's really nice because it's actually getting back to real people, real relationships, and getting away from sort of just online tactics for tactics' sake, and actually recognizing, I mean, people like brands that have real humans behind them and actually talk back to you, right? Not this sort of faceless brands that there's nobody really behind it.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. All right, one of the things I know you wanted to talk about was aesthetics.
Oh, for sure. I think aesthetically pleasing content is what will draw people to follow you. Making those first 9 tiles count, this will make or break someone choosing to follow you. And I think you need to to think about, does your content satisfy the people that are coming to view your page, and does it tell a story?
Okay. So that's an interesting concept, telling a, like letting those tiles, not just in the feed, not just thinking about them in the feed, but actually the tiles telling a brand story. Yeah,
absolutely. One thing I also see stylists don't do as much as they should is actually putting a photo of themselves on their page. Because I find if you don't put a photo of yourself on the page, people can't really know who you are, in a sense, when they come to the salon to see you. They've kind of walked in and thinking, who am I seeing today? I know I'm seeing this person, but I don't know what they physically look like. So telling a story of who your staff are and who they are, what they do, how long have they been hairdressing for, and representing that in the captions.
Yes. It's scary though, right? To put yourself out there publicly, up for judgment, as it can feel like sometimes. What are your thoughts around getting over that fear of being seen and judged?
I think it's just the way social media is going. It's a very visual platform. And I do understand, you know, it can be a bit daunting and a bit scary to put yourself out there, but with the way social media is going, you know, I think putting a face to the brand or the name is the way it has to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I totally believe you, because, you know, people follow brands, but ultimately, like you say, they're doing the business. They're in the chair with a human, with a person. You want to know who you're going to be stuck in that chair with for 2 hours.
Yeah, for sure. And if you think about, you know, some of the top celebrity stylists, we know who they are because we know their face.
Mm.
You know, anyone has that opportunity to be that person. But and I truly believe everyone has the opportunity to be, you know, the next big thing. But again, we need to put our face out there so people know who we are.
Yes. Okay, tell me a little bit about stories. How important are stories to building our brand?
Instagram stories are extremely important. More people view stories over the newsfeed. And I just feel like it's so important to utilize that. Again, you know, building a brand and building up who we are and our personality online. Because, you know, when clients and customers come to see us in the salon, sometimes they come to see us because they like who we are, because they have to spend that time with us for, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours in the chair. I think if you can kind of sell yourself through Instagram stories, you might win over potential customers based on your personality and who you are.
Yes. Okay. Speaking of stories, I've just done a story right at this moment and I'm going to post it once we've finished talking so I can concentrate. And if you're listening to this, I encourage you to come and find the story of me talking to Nicole. I'm going to put it in the highlights reel, because obviously this won't go live today, so you can find it. And please come and watch the story. A bit of fun. Okay, that's super useful, because those are some tips that we can directly go back and take some action. So let's recap what those are. Go and make sure that your Instagram handle and title, what did you call it, Nicole?
To optimize your name on the search bar. So treat it like a Google search.
Yes, making sure your location and business name is in there, maximizing your aesthetics and ensuring that you and your team's face are present often. And following your local, environment, you know, the businesses that are local to you, making sure you're interacting and engaging with those people like in real life, and obviously be present on stories. Speaking of stories, is this something that we should be doing daily? Like what's the right amount of showing up on stories in your opinion?
I think in a salon, that being on a story all day, so that some of the biggest brands on Instagram are on their stories day in, day out, all day long. And I think it's really fun because, like I was saying before, you know, you can win clients over by showing what happens day in, day out in the salon. You know, even showing transformations or, you know, mini hair tutorials or even maybe a little bit of free education on the stories can win people over to come and visit your page.
Great. Okay. All day, every day. So this brings up, I know, a question for a lot of people that even speak to me about managing social media is how do we make time for this inside of our business? How do we manage this as a team?
So with Instagram stories, I think it's good to even choose a particular stylist every day to maybe do a salon takeover. And I guess that way, you know, everyone gets a chance of presenting themselves on the Instagram story. So everyone has a chance of building up their clientele and their customers through the Instagram stories. I just think it's really fun to get the whole team involved with Instagram.
Yeah, I actually really like that. I think having somebody own it for the day and gives them permission to have the phone out and about and live and going. Yeah, I think that's really cool.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely. Great. I think it just let the whole team have fun with it, because most salons do work in a team environment. And yeah, showing the whole team on social media is absolutely so much fun.
So one thing that comes to mind that I want to open is this kind of need to be perfect and polished, yet a story, actually, we just need to be a little bit more real and gives us permission to be rough and ready just as we are. Because
yeah.
If we think about the aesthetics of our actual page, we don't have to worry about that quite so much in a story, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like even just recently, you know, I did a bit of a post to my audience asking if they wanted to see a little bit more of my day-to-day life, because, you know, 9 to 5 or like really 9 to 3 in our household is mum life. So I even asked my audience, did they want to see a little bit more of my day-to-day life? And I was so surprised that pretty much 95% of people said yes, that they did. So I guess now, even on my platform, I will show a little bit more of, you know, who I am and what I do. And life on Instagram isn't always perfect. You know, even in my life, it's tantrums and my hair is tied up in a mum bun, you know, pretty much all the time. And I think it's really good to show that, you know, show a bit of your outside life, but, you know, in a salon, keep it to the salon. But if you do have your own personal hair page, show a little bit about who you are, because, yeah, social media isn't perfect all the time.
Yeah, for sure. It actually gives us permission to relax a little bit, because there is this sort of perfectly groomed life that that social media has created for us. And I think now the pendulum's swinging the other way, that actually people are resonating or connecting with us more when actually we're not perfect all the time.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but I think, you know, because I do teach salons how to use Instagram and how to build their brand on social media, yeah, one thing I talk about often is building your personality and showing, yeah, who you are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you are a business owner as well. So what is a quote or a mantra or something that keeps you going as a business owner that you can share with us?
Okay, I've got this one and it's really relatable for me, and it is, the temptation to quit will be the greatest just before you're about to succeed.
Yes, I love that.
And I think for me, I relate to this a lot about many things, but I guess in particular for people trying to build their social media accounts, you know, Instagram and social media can be quite the challenge. However, when you feel like you're about to give up, you will definitely start to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Great. I think that can, my masterclasses, or I do a live Q&A inside of my Freedom and Profit program. And this exact, I'm actually going to do a story on this exact image. There's an image of somebody digging for the diamonds, you know, digging underground, and he just gives up when he's inches away from the diamonds.
Yeah.
That kind of makes me think exactly about that. So we were just talking about that the other day, and I think that is so true. You know, I think for most people that are hugely successful, it's because they've got tenacity and they just keep going and didn't give up. Yeah, so great quote.
Yeah,
all right, what's a book, a webinar or a podcast or some kind of resource that that you have read and love and think that we all should get our hands on?
I'm definitely a lover of podcasts. So for me, juggling mum life and my social media business, I don't sometimes get the time to sit down and read a book. So for me, I love listening to podcasts in the car or at nighttime when I've got some downtime. So I'm always listening to Salon Owners Collective, without a doubt. But I also listen to Mums with Hustle by Tracy Harris, which I actually found through listening to Salon Owners Collective. I just love her. I find her so relatable. She does similar business branding to what I do, but I think, you know, just being a mum and juggling day-to-day life is so important. And I also love Hair Love Radio by Elizabeth Fay. So she talks about all different topics of hair as well. So I think it's really great to listen to podcasts. I absolutely love them.
Great. All right. I will put the links to those on the show notes of this episode. So thank you. You have definitely shared some really good tangible takeaways. So why don't you tell us a little bit now about your social media school and give us all the links and the ways that we can find, follow and stalk you.
Amazing. So Social Salon School is my brand where I do one-on-one private classes with salons anywhere around the world. So I also offer online classes if you're not in Australia, but I'm also available to travel anywhere within Australia. And yeah, I've done classes in Perth. I've done classes all over Melbourne. And we do one-on-one Instagram training. So this goes for about 3 hours. And then I also teach hairstyling. So I teach 2 to 3 different looks. And then I also teach how to take the perfect hair photo, and it's held at your salon. So I feel like it's a little bit different where I actually come out to you and teach you in your own space and the comfort of your own salon.
That's awesome.
I love it. And also you can find me on Instagram at Melbourne Hair Blogger and also Social Salon School and melbourneharblogger.com.au.
Fantastic. Well, look, thank you so much, Nicole, for coming and sharing your wisdom and a little piece of your life. I really appreciate having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Larissa.
Thanks, Nicole. That is a wrap for today. And once again, you've been a great guest. I really appreciate your time. I think that we can all learn something from what she's speaking about, right? Whether it's about Instagram in particular or something as simple as never giving up. It's easy to think social media should feel simple and not feel difficult. But even the most esteemed Instagram users will take something away from what Nicole talked about, I am sure. It's important to remember that it's always changing, and sessions like today really do help us be better, do better, especially when it comes to online marketing. Instagram and social media in general is such a great tool that we have at our disposal. We're so lucky to be alive in this era. It's a good time to be alive. I remember when my granddad, who was a publisher of a newspaper, and there was here in New Zealand, he was in small town New Zealand, and there was a major catastrophe, a massive river or a dam flooded, and the dam broke and the river gushed down the valley and took out a train crossing the bridge at that very moment. It was a massive catastrophe in New Zealand. Look, I'm talking somewhere in the 50s, I guess, long time ago. But you know, he went into his office on a day off to print a one-page newspaper. Now, in those days, you had metal, each letter of the alphabet had a metal slate or a metal print of different sizes, and you had to lay it out, physically lay it out with metal plates. And, you know, how on earth did they get the pictures in there? I have no idea. And he went in on his day off, took my dad with him as a young boy. He might have been 10. And he felt it his obligation on a Sunday, that whatever day that it was closed. And he felt it was his obligation to go in and share the news locally that this catastrophe had happened. And he spent the day in there setting up this one-page newspaper to print. And then him and my dad walked around all the local newspaper agencies and put that, you know, big piece of news out into the world. You know, that was a whole day's task, and that only stretched around probably half of New Zealand. That was the reach or the area that he had under his sort of domain, if you will. So how much has the world changed in a relatively small space of time? I think we are so lucky to have at our disposal. We can all be newspaper editors any given day, any time of the day. So how lucky are we? So the word I want to remember is the word social. We're talking to real people online in order to form real relationships. And I think sometimes we forget that. We get so caught up in being on our phone and sort of preaching out or standing on a soapbox and voicing out to this sort of open void of nothingness. We know there's a bunch of people there, but we don't really know their faceless names. And we forget that these are real people connecting with us. So I think our focus needs to be around these relationships and the support that we offer to them. And it's only that that we get returned by people tuning in, following us, and eventually becoming our client. So thanks again, Nicole, for joining me this week. And don't forget to check out her social media links. I'll pop them in the links of this episode, of course, as usual. I really appreciate your amazing advice. And also come and join me in the Salon Marketing Collective. It's a Facebook group, obviously held on Facebook. And I'm in there regularly for great interviews, marketing podcasts, tips around specifically around instant messaging for the salon industry. So I look forward to seeing you there. Thanks for tuning into this episode of Salon Owners Collective Podcast, and I look forward to seeing you same time, same place next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.